Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Ruby Writers, podcast about pegging. Question and answers about pegging and sex, and you can ask any questions you like, and I'll answer the ones that I know I have the answer for, research the ones that I don't, and throw away the ones I have no clue about. So here we go. There's a great array of questions here tonight. I'm kind of excited about all this. Here's the first one. Hi, Ruby. I've been reading through your website, and I really admire the way you write and explain things. I have what I think is a unique question. Neither my boyfriend or I have tried pegging before. Yesterday, he expressed an interest in trying it out of curiosity. I tentatively agreed because I want to make him happy. The problem is, I'm just not into it. It doesn't turn me on at all. Is it wrong for me to try it when it completely turns me off? I want to make him happy. I just feel really conflicted about it. I'm worried that it will change my view of him or make me not attracted to him anymore. Is this normal? Is it okay to fake it? Sorry, this is kind of rambly. I'm just really in a quandary about it. I get anxious just thinking about it. Wow, a lot of questions there and an interesting situation. Let me be the first to say, you know, with my passion of pegging and my website and my writings and everything, pegging is not for everyone. Absolutely not. So it is important to notice that this really turns you off, that it doesn't turn you on at all, you're just not into it. These are really good things to notice right off the bat. Let me introduce a concept here of GGG versus hard limits. GGG is an acronym that Dan Savage came up with. It means good, giving, and game. Everybody would like their partner to be GGG, and they would also strive, hopefully, themselves to be GGG as well. Good giving in game means this, and this is Dan's quote. Think good in bed, giving equal time and equal pleasure, and game for anything within reason. Okay, that last one is where this question falls. Game for anything within reason. Only you can answer the question whether it's within reason or not, or whether it's a hard limit. Is it a hard limit of yours, or is it something that when explored you might find some pleasure in? One of the things you mentioned in your question made me think it wasn't just a hard limit. I mean, if you had written and said, you know, I think the ass is gross, I don't want to have anything to do with it, it's disgusting, I've never wanted anything to do with asses, and I don't want to do this to him, so should I try it anyway? No, then you're one of those people who absolutely should not try pegging, because that would sound more like a hard limit for me. But what you said about the I'm worried it will change my view of him, make me not attracted to him anymore. That's an interesting comment, because how exactly would it change you? There are many, many women out there that have misconceptions and fears that doing their guy anally means he's gay, or will turn him gay, or will suddenly make him want men. It's a common fear. I didn't say it was a correct one. Absolutely a misconception. The idea that pegging a guy with a strap-on dildo, turning him gay, is about as accurate as a lesbian pegging her partner and turning her straight. You know, it doesn't make any sense, but it is a knee-jerk reaction. I have to repeat it so often because it is a knee-jerk reaction, and I have to have patience with this because this is the main thing that I am battling against with my mission out there to explain pegging to everybody, is this first, biggest, largest, huge elephant of a misconception. If you think that this will turn your boyfriend gay, then perhaps you should sit back and educate yourself a little bit and take a look at what people talk about who have done pegging. Pegging necessitates a reversal of roles. So, will it get him a little bit in touch with his feminine side, perhaps? Maybe. I've heard couples talk about how afterwards the guy was more cuddly with her in their whole relationship, not just like in bed afterwards, but in their whole relationship. He was cuddlier, he was nicer, he was more communicative. That was an interesting reaction that I heard happened with one couple. It does require that role reversal, though, so let me give you another scenario. Are you a woman who really needs a really masculine-only male? Are you turned off by any sign of your boyfriend's vulnerable side? Well, if that's the case, then absolutely I think it's probably not a good idea, because this necessitates your boyfriend becoming vulnerable, becoming open and receptive. So these are the things to take a look at. If, on the other hand, it's just one of these grosses you out and it's not clean and the ass is something you never wanted anything to do with, well, that sounds like a limit with me. You mentioned that you're anxious just thinking about it. The best way to get over anxiety in terms of thinking about trying something new is to educate yourself about it. Violet Blue has a marvelous book called The Adventurous Couple's Guide to Strap-On Sex. There are other places, if you don't want to spend any money, that you can do some research. My website is one of them. You've obviously already found that. But there are two other places where you can talk to people and ask questions. Well, actually three that I can think of. The first two that occur to me are FetLife.com. That's F as in Frank, E-T-L-I-F-E. FetLife.com is kind of a place for kinky people to meet. There are pegging groups there, lots of them. A lot of them combine other kinks, other BDSM and things like that with the pegging, but there is a non-BDSM pegging group for people who are, as they say, vanilla, and they don't combine any other kinks with it. You can join. You can do the whole thing for free. You can sign up, you can join that group, and you can ask people questions. Ask women questions, you know, what happened in your relationship when you guys did this? And maybe you can address whatever fears it is you might have by talking with people about it. Another place you can do the exact same thing is, it's a Yahoo Tribe group called Pegging 101. Now, you don't have to write all this stuff down because there's links to these on my blog roll, FetLife and Pegging 101. I'm the moderator there, and that's specifically a group for, as we say, vanilla pegging couples. Couples who don't want to have anything to do with the BDSM, the feminization, the humiliation, the degradation, and all the stuff that you see on porn a lot. So you're quite welcome to come there, throw a question up on the board. That's free as well. Last but not least, Reddit.com, R-E-D-D-I-T, has a pegging group. You can go there and post a question and ask the same thing there. So if you find that there's those questions in there, there's those fears, you might want to give yourself a little time. Tell your partner, you know, I really want to think about this. I want to investigate it, educate myself, and I'm not really sure. Give yourself plenty of time, educate yourself, and then make that decision. But again, it's totally okay if this is something that is a hard limit for you. It doesn't really matter what's normal. You ask, is it normal? It doesn't matter whether it's normal. It's how you're feeling. And it's perfectly okay for you to decide you don't want to do it. You asked, should I fake it? Absolutely not. Don't fake it, because unenthusiastic sex sucks. Like, sucks in the bad way, not the good way. There's nothing worse than being in bed with someone who doesn't want to be there. Masturbation is better than that. But if you think there's room to look at the question of why it completely turned you off, is it because of misconceptions or fears that are not true, or is it a true hard limit? So, a lot of stuff to take a look at there. Complicated answer. Thanks for the question, though. And I hope I helped you out a little bit with that one. Here is the next one. Hi there, my name is not to be repeated over the podcast. I put that part in. She told me her name. I'm 33 years old, and I have recently become aware of pegging. My husband brought it to my attention a few months back. I really enjoy it. We have started using a chastity belt for him to go along with his pegging. I want to learn as much as I can about pegging and chastity so I can enjoy as much as my husband does. I have a very hard time expressing my wants and desires to him during sex, and hope that maybe you can point me in the right direction to some new things. I would love to start receiving your blogs in my email. My husband says I might like this. Please help. In need of encouragement. Thanks. First of all, you can follow my blog. There's a link to the left on my website that says follow my blog. There's also follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. So whatever kind of platform you have that interacts with blogs and sends you notifications that the person has posted again, you can sign up for my blog in that manner, whatever browser you have. Okay. Chastity. I don't really have any experience or knowledge about chastity devices. I have an ex that used to live an hour and a half away from me, and he gave me control over his masturbatory orgasms when he masturbated. And he was quite a healthy masturbator, like many times a day. And he voluntarily, as a gift, gave me control over his orgasms. It was, I have to say, it was totally, totally hot. I got to tell him when, how many times a day, and sometimes even where. And we had a lot of fun with that. And then I asked him to report into me and tell me what was going through his head that sent him over the edge. It was, like I said, totally hot. Awesome memory. We never used a device. Our thoughts about the device at the time, he and I both thought alike about it, was that if you needed a chastity device to ensure that your partner was not masturbating, that you really didn't have control, shall we say, because this is like it's a control thing and it's a fun thing. I enjoy that type of play, but I've never used a device. Some people really enjoy them. I want to point out something, though, that you wrote in your message. You said, I have a very hard time expressing my wants and desires to him during sex and hope that maybe you can point me in the right direction to some new things. I suggest you unpack that with him and practice getting good at that before adding new, fun, and different things to your sexual repertoire, because that is a building block. That's a really important building block. I like to call pegging varsity sex, because I believe it is. I believe there's so many things involved and so many psychological things involved that it's really good to have a strong base of communication between the two of you before you start going for it. And I know you guys have already started going for it, but I encourage you, you know, tackle that one. Sit down. Get better at it. I used to be like that. I found it very hard to ask for what I wanted. But I think over time, knowing that I had a partner I could trust who wouldn't judge, and just getting comfortable and realizing exactly what I wanted and getting in touch with that helped a lot. So if that's a road you need to go down, I encourage that as well. So as far as information about pegging, you know, there's a lot of information on my website. And again, you can follow my blog, Facebook, Twitter. And I'm working on getting these podcasts on iTunes as well. You can go over to the cloud tag on the right and click beginners. Frequently asked questions. There's anything you have a question about, be it equipment, how you can get off, because that was also something that you mentioned. You want to learn as much as you can about pegging and chastity so I can enjoy as much as my husband does. I'm assuming, hopefully not incorrectly, that you would like to enjoy an orgasm when you peg your husband. And if that's the case, then there's a whole bunch of information about that that I've covered on a different podcast, depending on whether you're G-spot based, clitorally based, and the different methods that I have heard of that have been very successful for women to get off while they're pegging their guys. And there's a lot of different ones, I gotta tell you. That's the interesting thing about this. It's like, okay, there is no cut and dried magic bullet, so to speak. Not even a magic vibrating bullet that will get every woman off, because we're all so different. And probably because a lot of orgasming is psychological as well and emotional. So it depends on, you know, what kind of space you're in, as well as the type of stimulation that you like. And the type of stimulation that we women like can differ widely. So that requires a whole bunch of looking into how her body reacts, how your body reacts, I'm sorry, and what you like the best. So do some research on that as well. And I'm going to talk about something at the end of this podcast in terms of double-ended dildos. And that is definitely something that could give you more pleasure with your pegging if you haven't already tried it. So stay tuned for that, because I got some other stuff to talk about in between. Alrighty. I encountered a lovely woman on Twitter initially, and then we connected on Facebook, named Ms. Mina Pierce. She's She's a pro-dom in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. And she found my website and my blog and tweeted about it and surprised me. And so I connected up with her. We had some conversations. And she wrote this: "You have a fantastic blog, very helpful. Recently, I have been obsessed with the social concept of when man and woman meet. How is the man supposed to present to her without making her feel like she is dating a gay man? I've never felt that way before, but I have seen one woman seemingly succumb to the social pressure and release her newly, quote, gay boyfriend," end quote. So I wrote her back. This is an interesting comment. I wrote her back and asked, "So are you saying this woman did strap on play with her guy and then assumed he was gay and left him? Or was it that other people's opinions about strap on play then became social pressure from others that any guy who enjoys that has got to be gay, so people were saying, what are you doing with him?" She replied, "In terms of this woman's relationship with this guy, they were really turned on with each other and she ended up doing it, but afterwards she felt kind of weird about it. She started to realize his feminine qualities, though they had already had sex. She was afraid that the butt sex was making her boyfriend gay. In any case, it didn't work out for them because he ended up moving away, but it did break her heart and I felt bad for her." And Mina continues here, "I'm interested in the subject because what I see men professionally who can't get this play from their wives, and it's just a shame. I agree with you on so many levels. If women would just be a little more open-minded, I think it would save a lot of relationships. Men end up cheating all day long, and a lot of times the woman just chooses to ignore it." So this is another part of who I interact with that I have such respect for, are the pro-doms out there. And I bypass the whole cheating issue with, I have no judgment of pro-doms other than I totally respect what they do and what they offer men who cannot find that in either their own relationships, or perhaps they're single and they have no relationship. In the case of women being more open-minded to this, this is one more time I wish I had a magic wand. This is why I talk about this so much, is because I do wish that women would be a little bit more open-minded about it. I do wish that they could get beyond that elephant in the room misconception, that first huge one, which is the, he's gay. I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, what I heard is, and what I have actually witnessed a little bit in some of my partners, is that softening of a man when he receives pegging. You're going to see his vulnerable side. You're going to see him soften. You're going to see him receive. And sometimes, if you're lucky, you'll actually get to see him have what can only be called it like a full body orgasm, and sometimes a hands-free orgasm. And those can rock you and lay you out. They can make you tremble and breathless and totally lose control. And it's an incredible, marvelous experience, much akin to a woman's fantastic, best ever G-spot orgasm, or combined G-spot and clitoral orgasm. It's like that. It's like a full body, lose control, make noise and not even know you're doing it orgasm. Many women are unprepared for that level of intensity with a guy. The guy's always in control previous to this experience. You know, say he's always been running the fuck, which is almost always the case. Sure, sometimes the women get on top a little bit and do a few things and are active, but nothing like pegging. Pegging is true role reversal. So you get to walk in your partner's shoes for a while, and the women get to run the fuck and the guys get to receive. So sometimes this really freaks women out. And I've heard very sad stories of men just having their women walk away. Or she did it once and she'll never do it again. And it's just the saddest thing. It just breaks my heart because this is like finding treasure inside your guy. This is like opening up a whole new amazing place inside him that you two can share. And it all is also opening up a place inside you where you get to practice different things that you're not familiar with as well. You get to run the fuck. You get to be in control. You get to be the person doing that movement, moving your hips, pushing that toy inside him, and making him flip out with pleasure. And it's just, it's a marvelous thing. it can flip some people out. And I think, though, that that first misconception of the gay is what stops most women. So I swear to God, you guys, I'm going to talk about it until I am blue in the face. You're probably going to hear it on every single podcast. And then my blog, I'm doing the monthly announcement, no, he's not gay. But, you know, I'm going to get through to people, and it's going to work eventually. It was delightful connecting with Miss Mina Pierce. And I'm sure we're going to have lots of continuing conversation about this, but I wanted to share that with you guys because that's something that happens because of the fears, because of the freak out. And I really encourage women to ride it out. You might have fears and things, but, you know, ride it out and see what you got there. If you're in a relationship and you've actually gotten to the point of pegging with each other, it's so sad to walk away from that. I mean, that is such a big step to take. It's such an amazing thing to try out with each other that, you know, maybe you might have some fears about what happened during, but talk it out. Use those communication skills. Okay, what do we got here? I have one more thing to read to you, and this is back to the woman with the second question about chastity belt and about getting as much pleasure as he does, which... Now that I say that out loud, it's kind of funny. It's like, you want to enjoy it as much as he does, and he's wearing a chastity cage. So, actually, a man wearing a chastity device can have a hands-free orgasm being pegged. Absolutely. Haven't done it myself, because as I said, I haven't experimented with the devices, but I've absolutely seen it on an amateur videotape. And, you know, I so wish I would have bookmarked it, because it was totally hot. It was way hot. So, that is a way that he can have pleasure. So, as far as you having pleasure, let's talk about double-ended dildos for a little bit. This is another thing I find myself saying over and over and over again. They market these things as harnessless or strapless. One of the websites calls it a strapless strap-on. Well, yeah, if you're a lesbian, I suppose, and you are using it as a woman to fuck another woman, awesome, then as I understand it, you can use them fairly successfully, woman to woman. But it is not the same when we are talking about heterosexual strap-on sex. It is not the same at all when pegging enters the picture. I believe this is true because a man's anal sphincter is much stronger than the vaginal muscles of another woman, so instead of fucking vaginal muscles and holding that bulb end in of your vagina with your own vaginal Kegel muscles, you've got Kegel muscles fighting against anal sphincters. And I believe, this is my experience, that the Kegels and the vaginal muscles are going to lose every time, and the Kegel's going to win, especially when you get excited and it starts getting pretty slippery up there. There are still people here and there who say, you know, my wife used it, my girlfriend used it, she uses it, no harness, no problem. Here and there I do find people like that. But what happens here is that the newbies come along, these people who are just finding out about pegging, and they're like, what should I get? Now, admittedly, those double-endeds, if you see a picture of a woman with one in her, because it's not on, it's in, it's gorgeous. It looks like she's got this gorgeous cock sticking out of her. There is nothing bad looking about these things. It's such a fetching image. I love it. And when you get down to the business of fucking your guy, it is hard and frustrating, and they slip out, and they're a pain in the fucking ass, okay? Not the good kind. It's funny I came up with that phrase. Here's what happens. It gets frustrating because it slips out. It goes from side to side. The stability is not good. The vast majority of couples who have tried this find it an exercise in frustration. And then they go get a harness. So what I really wish is that there was some differentiation on any site that markets these double-ended. Not just the manufacturers, but the distributors and other secondary sellers, you know, resellers, I should say. They really should differentiate between the two of them, and I swear I'm going to write an article for each one of these places and say, you really need to post this, because what I get sad about is the newbies. I mean, it's a big enough deal to do pegging to begin with. And if you choose the wrong equipment and get lured in by the beauty of these things and think, oh, this is awesome, and that way she can feel it and she could fuck me and it'd be awesome, and you don't think you need a harness, you're setting yourself up for failure. I have said that pegging is varsity sex. Double-ended dildos are varsity pegging, okay? So think about that for a little bit. Now, if you get double-ended dildos with a harness, that can indeed be your first choice because that gives it stability. So I had a conversation with someone on the Reddit pegging group, and he mentioned how he and his girlfriend use a Fildo and didn't really mention anything else. So I had to jump in there and clarify because I want to protect the newbies, and I asked, do you use a harness with this? And he said, yeah, absolutely. We use the spare parts harness. And I thanked him for the information and went on to say what I had just told you guys, that there's the contingent of newbies out there that think you should be able to use the double-ended dildos without a harness. If the woman's if the woman's Kegel muscles are strong enough. This is the part that ticks me off too. I say bullshit because it hardly ever happens. And another result of this, what you get women feeling less than, oh, I can't use it like just by itself. I have to have a harness because my Kegel muscles aren't strong enough. Or you get guys saying, well, if your girlfriend or your wife's, you know, Kegel muscles are strong enough, yeah, bullshit. It's not the way it works. There are so few women out there that can use these without a harness that don't fall for that, okay? So this is why I wanted to clarify with this guy, and he said, oh, absolutely, we use a harness. And then he gave me more information that actually was really... no one had described it quite like this, so I want to read it to you. I had my comment about the manufacturer should not say that these are strapless strap-ons, and he says, I have to agree with your sentiments. My girlfriend has pretty strong Kegel muscles, and there's absolutely no way she could hold this in during sex. It just takes way too much pressure and specific control, especially during the initial insertion, to be possible. And how we like to change positions and try new things, the harness just makes it super easy. However, I still feel the Fildo is better than a regular dildo, if you ask me. She can actually feel herself fucking me. She can feel if she slips out when fucking me hard. She can feel if she's pressing up against my P-spot. Just having that connection to her body makes the fucking so much better than it ever was. And it's just those sentences, I'd never run across that description so well. A lot of people say, oh, the double-ended ones, they're awesome, they're great, they feel wonderful. But never quite to that descriptive extent. That was a piece of gold, and thank you so much for sharing that. I'm one of the moderators on the pegging group on Reddit, so that's another place to go and ask questions if anybody's interested. So, yes, double-ended dildos. I'm kind of excited here because I was actually offered a paid writing position for Good Vibrations blog. Here's the funny part. I get paid in sex toys. So although I can say, there's pure honesty from Ruby Ryder here, that I have tried a double-ended dildo once. It was some time ago. It was fairly brief. There was no harness. It was difficult. I said, this is not working. And I put it down and didn't pick it up again. And I do not have one myself. Can you believe that? I give you guys information from all of the questions that I have asked and the information I've gotten from other people. So what this means to me is that I'm going to actually get paid for my writing from Good Vibrations Sex Toy Company, and I am going to get myself a double-ended, and then you guys are going to get a report. You're going to see how I like it. I have a couple of different harnesses that will fit it. I have the Anio from Outlaw Leather that's going out of business and I'm so sad about. And I also have the spare parts, so I look forward to trying those out and giving you the report on what that feels like. I am only a relative newcomer to G-spot stimulation. I think that was about 3 years ago. So, you know, in terms of how old I am, which if you go on FetLife, you can find that out, but I'm not going to put it on my podcast. yeah, pretty recent in my life. And having that spot there and knowing what that feels like with finger stimulation and toy stimulation, I do look forward to having double-ended and trying that one more time and trying it with a harness this time. Probably explains why I'm so opinionated about it, because that one time I tried it, I didn't have a harness. And the guy was so excited about it, he's like, look what I have. And I looked at it and was quite taken in by the advertisement. He sent me a link to it. And I thought, well, this is just probably the best idea in the world. This is, you know, something that could give everybody a little pleasure. And then to actually take that and work with it and use it, yeah, not even. So I look forward to doing that. I'll cross-post a little bit in terms of some of the stuff I write for Good Vibrations blog, but hopefully not too much at all, because, you know, I like my website, and that's where I want to put most of my cool stuff up. But I'm honored to be asked. Charlie Glickman offered me, and he's offered me that position. He's the editor of that blog, and he also has his own very informational, amazing website where he writes some pretty cool articles. He wrote one on pegging some time back that I had actually bookmarked. So when he connected with me through Twitter and asked me about writing for the blog, I was thrilled. Another thing that I'm going to be doing is going down to this convention called CatalystCon, which is going to be in September down in Long Beach. Here's what it feels like to me. I've never been to this before, and I think it's only the second year that it's been held. But it's more of a discussion group and educational type of thing. I don't know. I put these words to it, and I don't think they would, but it seems like a highbrow sex convention to me. But I'm fascinated because there are people from all walks of life and all levels of education talking about all kinds of sexuality. There's nobody there talking about pegging. I was not surprised to find that, and I am determined to be one of the speakers next year, so I'm going to try and make some connections and talk to people. But if you just want to go and learn everything you can about sexuality, period, come on down and join us. I'll be there for all weekend. I think that's it for this podcast. Where I live, it's been pretty hot. And it's this very cool night where it's cooled off and the windows are open and I've got a cool breeze coming in, so I'm going to edit this, put some music on it, and put it up on my website. Oh, and thank you to the listener who pointed out that my link was to the wrong podcast last week. I can't believe that that only happened like the fourth day it was posted. He got a free membership, so if any of you find some errors like that, please do let me know. Links that don't work and stuff. I've been known to give out quite a few free memberships for people helping me out with stuff like that. So I'm going to have a whole bunch of people poring over my website and finding mistakes. Hopefully there are so few that it won't matter. All right. I hope you're all enjoying wonderful pegging if you've got a partner or a play partner. And if you're dreaming about it, wanting to find somebody, I hope that somebody shows up soon. So, until next time, this is Ruby Ryder, Pegging Paradise.